Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Today, we talk fancy tacos, sneaking into Super Bowl parties, and ask, why are video gamers so grumpy? All that and more on this week's episode of Trust Circle. Hello, and welcome to Trust Circle. I am your host, Devin Valdivia. I am joined by my wife, Valerie.
Present.
Valerie, present.
That's what the cool kids say in class when they call attendance.
The cool kids, right?
They don't say here, they say present.
That's what the nerds said.
Also gifted here today is Top Shelf Gaming's founder, editor-in-chief, stutter and crazy person, and LaCroix sipper, Marcus Garrett.
Hey there, ladies and spaghettis.
He's coming to the fizzy side. He used to hate LaCroix. I used to knock on it.
I used to hate it.
I was like,
this is stupid. This is just water. This is soda without all of the good stuff. And I was like, why would anyone drink this? I've had like three cases in like the last 2 weeks.
Well, I don't know about you, but I'm feeling 22.
22 episodes, we did it.
Oh, okay.
I was playing Modern Legends
Valerie, one. Valerie wasn't tracking with
it. I was on Taylor Swift.
Wasn't tracking there.
I mean, obviously that's a joke, but it doesn't mean I got both sides of it.
Well, 22 episodes. This is Trust Circle. We are Top Shelf Gaming's number one and only podcast, where every week, me and Marcus, who love games, talk to Valerie, who likes some games. And that's...
And tolerates others.
And tolerates others, does not tolerate some others.
Like Overcooked. What up with that, Val?
What up with that?
That's a great game.
Didn't choose to play it. It's not a slight to it. I just didn't choose to play it.
You're a terrible person.
And scene.
I'll take that to the bank.
I'll take it all the way to the kitchen.
That's not very far, Devin.
Yeah. It's not.
We're
bank's like just down that way, too. It's not that bad.
Yeah, but the kitchen is considerably closer.
A little bit. Sad story about the bank. There used to be. There's Chase Bank down there. There is still one. Mm-hmm. There used to be a big old advertisement on the wall with... this woman walking a little pig.
The tagline was like banking your way or something to show how like nonconformist they are walking their pig on a leash. And now it's not there anymore.
It's not there.
But every time we drove by it, I'd beg, Devin, there's a pig. Devin, there's a pig. And now I can't say that anymore.
Well, you just carry a pig in your car and then there'll always be one.
Devin, here's a pig.
It's like, I got you this pig. Please.
So just, you know, public PSA. Public service announcement.
Pig service announcement.
A public PSA.
A public pig service announcement.
It's like saying the Los Lonely Boys.
Yeah.
Micro pigs aren't a thing.
Nope.
If someone buys you a micro pig, it's just a little pig.
It's called a piglet.
It's just a baby pig.
It's going to grow into a big old potbelly pig.
Uh-huh.
It's going to grow into like a 200-pound pig.
There are no little boys. There are only baby boys.
I need to return the Valentine's gift that I got then.
It's oinking over there.
Yeah.
I hope you kept the receipt.
I did, but the pig ate it.
So it's been a week since we last talked, and it's been
it's
a
been
week
a
since.
Stupid week. It's the worst.
this is a terrible week. Valerie is not pleased.
I'm not.
With the last 7 days.
I'm not. They're the pits.
Well, I was going to ask you how you guys are doing, but apparently Valerie wants to start.
I'm doing that. That is how I do. I do that.
What are you pissed about, Valerie? Tell me your words.
America.
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 You mean you're mad at this beautiful country? Well, why don't you leave?
Why don't you go to Canada?
Still live here.
If you love it so much.
Canada's nice. Everyone in Canada was really nice to me in the 72 hours that I was there.
That one time.
It's proof.
It's not proof. It's an anecdote.
Yeah, anecdotal proof. That's a thing.
Why are you straw-manning my ad hominem?
You know, I
define straw man argument.
Not for you, Snowflake.
He doesn't know what straw man argument is.
Oh my gosh. So, I took logic, and that class was the best And what I can say is that you're doing it wrong.
That's not according to Reddit.
So America is not your favorite place right now?
See, the problem is, I like a lot of people in America.
Yeah.
America's got a lot of cool people, but...
Am I one of them?
You are, Marcus.
Yeah.
I'll let you know that. But there's some uncool people that are currently making decisions for multitudes of cool people, and the decisions they're making are, in my view, uncool, but also objectively uncool, you know, and it's not great.
There are some stuff going, going down.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was crazy. I was, taking a flight, to, New York, and they always tell you to get to the airport 2 hours early. But they didn't say anything about getting there 4 hours early to swim through all of the people that were there.
It's called crowd surfing.
Crowd surfing, yes. Well,
how are you guys doing this week?
Awesome. That was such a natural question.
It's an unnatural week.
That's fair. I don't know. Marcus, how are you?
You can't just pawn that off.
You made me fight my way through that statement.
I did. That's called the hostess with the mostest.
Okay, hostess.
Yeah.
You're the hostess.
I'm a plump chocolate treat.
You're
from
a Twinkie.
Now on, you have to,
I'm a Twinkie.
From now on, you have to introduce yourself as the hostess of the podcast, not the host.
The hostess?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Welcome to Dress Circle, I am your hostess.
I'm your hostess.
Mm-hmm.
All right, fine. I will go. I'm actually kind of tired now. I worked an hour and a half later than usual, which is like not the biggest of deals.
That's different from an hour and a half longer. That's just later. Correct?
It was both.
Okay.
I worked an hour and a half longer, which meant also later.
Because that directly affects my sympathy.
I guess
it's like 10:30. Yeah. Like snooze, snooze, snooze.
It's
so hard.
It's
so hard tapping those extra Z's.
I was counting a lot of sheep, and it got exhausting.
Yeah.
You wouldn't believe how exhausting it was. Audience, Marcus just burped out LaCroix on his lap. Anyway, Devin.
I've lost all control of this podcast. Valerie, you host.
Well, Marcus, how was your week?
My week, it was, you know, so I'm the introverted guy. I mean, actually, this is a podcast full of introverts. That's, but like, a typical weekend for me is like, not doing anything. And so this weekend I actually did things with other human beings, and it was great. So Friday I went to someone's birthday at a bowling alley / arcade place, and it was funny because like our friend is, you know, just like this popular person. And so a bunch of people came, and it's always that weird thing where, like, mixing groups can be kind of strange. But the way it worked out was, like, the cool people were all bowling, and then the, like, nerdy people were all at the arcade.
There you go.
And it was really, really fun. And then Sunday, I tried this, like, really, really good taco place called Por Vida. It's in Anaheim, and it's like gourmet tacos, so like they're like $4 to $8 each, but it was happy hour, so like basically half off, and those are some good boys. I like them
a lot.
Good
boys.
Yeah, sweet good boys.
The concept of gourmet Mexican food has always weirded me out. I think, I mean, not just me being Mexican, I think it's me living in California.
Yeah.
Where Mexican food is rampant, and like, it's so strange to see Mexican food as anything other than like the base. Like, to me, like, when I think of food, I'm probably gonna think of tacos before I think of like a hamburger or French fries. That's just what food means to me. Like, just is a taco or like a quesadilla. It's like, you know, I've had fancy Mexican food. There's a place in the Orange Circle, Gabby's.
Gabby's is good.
It's really, really good, and it's really, really fancy, and it's really, really expensive.
Oh, yeah, it is.
Their jalapeno margarita is delicious, by the way.
They make their own tortillas, too.
They do, and they're delicious.
Actually, so does this other place. But yeah, Gabby's tortillas are... I'm trying to think of Spanish words for something really, really good. Marvoloso.
Muy son muy ricos. What's or since their tortillas son muy ricas.
Son,
lo siento.
I'll take it.
But it's always... I need to be, like, in the right headspace to have, like, fancy Mexican food.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's so... In a similar but very different way, I relate to Chipotle, where Chipotle is, like, it's not Mexican food.
Mm.
You're using Mexican, like, food ingredients, technically... But it's not Mexican food. It's fine. I am one of the few people who really love Chipotle, and I will not apologize for that.
Okay,
but it's not Mexican food.
Yeah. And it doesn't even try to be.
No. Mm. But when I go to Chipotle, I don't have Mexican food in my head. I have Chipotle in my head.
Yeah.
And it's sort of that way when I go get fancy Mexican food, because it's almost so far removed from like what I consider Mexican food that I'm having like some other genre of food that just uses similar looking ingredients.
Yeah, that's fair. I will say about the place I went to though, it like when I went to Gabby's, it felt just like super high end and like it felt like a place that I didn't belong, you know, because it was just like way too fancy. But this place that I tried, it like. In your example, you would go here, you would have these tacos and, like, still be, like, this is Mexican food.
The people's fancy Mexican food.
Yeah, and it's like, it still has that, like, authenticity.
Do they sprinkle weird sauce on plates?
No.
Because that's, like, my indicator of, like, okay, let's pull it back now.
No, they like, serve all of their tacos and, like... You know those when you'd go to like baseball games and like get nachos and those like little boat
those little
plates.
Those little plaid paperboard cup things
they basically serve them like
little canoes mm-hmm.
And whew, it's good. I have pictures. I can show you pictures afterwards because apparently I've become a Google guide. So have. Any of you done this?
Nope.
So, I started, like, going places and, like, taking pictures.
Mm-hmm.
And then my phone would just, like, pop up, like, hey, you just took a picture at blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
Would you like to post it for other people? I was just like, sure.
Mm-hmm.
And then Google's like, great, you just got a point. And so I sign up for the his thing where like if I go there and like share pictures, I can start getting points and like being the his like local tour guide, and then there's rewards for it.
I think this is how the show Black Mirror starts.
You're just a tool of big data now.
I am, and like I know that that's what that's for. It's like so there. I mean, there's
just like.
Like I'm okay
and
with
yeah,
it.
Yeah, and it that's how this like that's how things happen. That's how we get like better apps to use. Like Google needs information, so then they give you better maps and they give you better directions.
Well, that's what Pokemon Go was
that's,
for.
That's what I mean, it was for.
Yeah, it was literally so the game that came that it was based off of Ingress was created specifically as a way for Google to basically crowdsource all of their maps, because as people were like walking around playing his game, Google's tracking them and like finding walking paths, because they have their cars that can go and like drive, but they can't really do that as easily on like sidewalks,
on footpaths.
So this game was just the way that they charted out all these things.
Yeah, I think it's a really good idea.
It's genius.
Yeah.
So I'm a tour guide, and I got an alert today saying that my photos have been viewed more than 1,000 times.
Wow.
So, like, I'm totally buying into it because I only do it, like, I don't go anywhere. Mm-hmm. But if I'm somewhere and I take one picture, like, mm-hmm. it's not any sort of inconvenience.
Yeah.
So is that something that's built into your phone?
I think it's coming from Google Maps.
Okay.
So I have Google Maps app, and whenever I take a picture at a location, it'll just pop up saying, would you like to post this to Google Maps?
To our mother brain.
Because they're basically trying to, like, undercut Yelp. And yeah. Just become Yelp.
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 Yelp. So, well,
that was my week.
That sounds all right.
Yeah.
Any week with good Mexican food is a good week, which is a good segue into my week, because I had some good Quotey Fingers Mexican food, and by that I mean...
Chipotle?
No, I mean Naked Chicken Chalupa.
Mmm. Oh my God. Right, yes.
Yes. You've had more than I have.
I have.
I've only had the one.
Mm-hmm.
Describe this for our uninformed audience members.
Better idea, turn us off, go get it yourself.
Oh my God.
So now that you're holding it with
you... What if they don't eat meat?
Well, like, then...
Who
doesn't eat meat? What do we
name know? One person.
Also, I'm not convinced this thing is real meat.
It's real meat.
I'm just convinced it's delicious.
It's so delicious.
So, Naked Chicken Chalupa is in the vein of the KFC Double Down, which I don't know if they still sell anymore.
I don't think so.
So the KFC Double Down was a burger where the buns was chicken. This is a taco.
Did you ever try that?
Oh, yeah. Was it good? Not only did I try the Double Down, me and my friends, we did the Double Down.
Oh, my God.
In which you went to In-N-Out, got a Double, went to KFC, got a Double Down.
Wait a minute.
Incepted the Double Down into the Double, and now you have a Double Down.
How can you even fit your mouth around that?
I could eat a lot of food now, 17 years old.
Wait, that sounds... awesome.
It was fantastic.
Did you have to, like, unhinge your jaw python-like to swallow it?
You don't eat the whole thing in one bite, Valerie.
Well, how, if you...
You gotta, like, mash it. You really gotta just slam it down.
Ew.
And then if you got their potato wedges, too? Yeah.
You could do all kinds of crazy stuff.
You could do... The sky's the
limit. Valerie, you know Kyle.
Sure.
You know Kyle.
Storms?
So Kyle, for a while... Kyle now does not eat meat. He very much did back in the day. So Kyle
times.
Had a goal to have a 20 by 20 from In-N-Out.
That is
20 patties.
20 patties, 20 cheeses.
Valerie is like on the verge of vomiting.
I'm horrified, guys.
He didn't achieve it, but he got half of a burger away from it. I was there. I witnessed. It was me and him. Kyle was my old youth pastor. So he taught me all about Jesus and then overeating. It was great. We went to In-N-Out afterwards. And he was like, I'm just feeling like I can do it. And so he ordered all the burgers. He had to make, you know, they only do the 4x4s. So you had to, you know, make them yourself. I'm sitting there with, like, my double. And I just watch him just go for it. And he got to the last half of a burger.
And he couldn't do
it? He physically could not do it.
That sucks. That's such a letdown.
I mean, it was still impressive. It was one of the most impressive, like, in-person eating feats I've ever seen. Also, pretty gross.
But just think of, like, what has to happen after that.
Because, I don't want to.
Because, like...
No, I don't want to think about any of that.
Because, like, in his mind...
I'm not concerned about his mind.
He failed. And then he's like, if I want to redeem myself, I have to put myself
through that again.
Yeah. And, like, so
this was
an endless torture.
He did not try to get that. He made peace with it. He's like, I did my best. I basically did it.
Yeah.
We're done with that. And I think it wasn't too long after that when he started cutting back the meat, and now is
oh, I wonder why.
He hit his life. He's like, he hit his lifetime quota, and he maxed out the meat
in one night.
Yeah, one night. It was, it was a memory I will have the rest of my life. Whether that's a good or bad thing is up to personal interpretation.
Are we so bored with food abundance that we have to create these challenges for ourselves?
Yeah, welcome to America.
That's exactly how this world works.
I'm going to Canada.
How this country works.
You can't go to Canada. You're married to me. You can't just
leave. I'm about to go to Canada, Devin.
We waste so much food here. It's
It's true.
It's so sad.
We waste a lot of stuff here.
I don't know. I feel like, as a human, there's just, like, certain things that, like, not even moral things, but just, like, being, like, a half-decent human that I think people can just get better at, and like we'd be so much better off just like little tweaks, little tiny lifestyle tweaks, and we could be so much better off.
I mean, so I either agree or want to agree, but that kind of, like, you know, California with the drought that, you know, we can't decide whether or not we're still in or out of. You know, it's one of those things where when we were in like the thick of it. And everyone was saying, you know, do all these things on an individual level. You know, take shorter showers, don't wash your car, don't water your lawn, don't leave the water on when you brush teeth. And that's all totally fine. Like, yeah. That's something that every person can do. But it's not really the problem, but like the bigger picture is that where the water was being used up was not by individuals. It was by
almonds.
Factories and companies that are using
agriculture.
Like hundreds of thousands of gallons like a day, not a person using, you know, their 20 gallons if you're going crazy. Like,
sure.
And like, that's not to say people shouldn't take,
but then you
personal,
multiply that by you, millions, and then it starts to,
yeah,
start no, to
there,
see that difference.
There's a scale, but yeah. Like, you know, my personal actions is in this case literally a drop in the bucket compared
why did
to
you even vote then, Devin? Why did you even vote?
I think it's more about creating an awareness.
No, I know.
Of
I'm not
conservation, not being wasteful.
I'm not saying don't be wasteful.
I want to hear what Valerie says.
I have to listen to it all the time.
Oh, well, God. I don't. I don't.
As if you actually listen.
Okay, cool.
But
but I just, I mean, let's see, because I think the mindset of every man for himself, what I do doesn't really matter. Creates a slippery slope of single-mindedness, and whether we like it or not, we depend on people working together to function in this society. So that, like, I think of like a universal attitude of more conservation or more mindfulness of things like that is adopted, then, like you said, the small changes do add up.
Yeah.
And I mean, I don't know if, like, who knows if, I don't know. It's confusing.
Well, I'm not saying we shouldn't do that. I'm just saying that there is a much bigger picture outside of our individual efforts that also needs to be addressed on top of whatever we do as an individual person.
Yeah, but I still tend to err more with what Valerie's saying, because even
I'm not disagreeing.
Oh yeah, and like I get it. I think when considering big picture, it's like there are bigger forces that are contributing to these, to like our drought and to these other issues that. Humans being better humans don't necessarily contribute to that much, but humans being better humans contributes to the even bigger picture, where if like more people were just, not that it's conserving water, not that it's recycling, but it's the mindset behind these things, which is like, I'm doing this because I'm a part of this planet, and like I want to do my part to like keep it safe. It's like that mindset of like thinking beyond your own needs, even just in those like small ways. If like more people did that, Just had a little bit more compassion, just had a little bit more patience. I think that's where we, really see that impact, even if we never got out of this drought, whatever. And even if the corporations were, still big and using up all of our resources, it's at least people will be generally, compassionate. So I think that's the bigger thing for me.
Sure. Well, speaking of compassion, let's take a short break and then talk about areas where maybe there's a lack of it. We'll be back. And we are back. That was a fun break, wasn't it? It was so fun. I had to fix some things that no one will ever know about. Don't talk about it.
Your secret is safe with us. It stays within the inner circle.
Except for that shark over there.
Innermost circle. Gladys is part of the circle.
Gladys is not a part of the circle.
Gladys, get the heck out of here.
Gladys can stay.
Gladys is lazy.
Gladys is not welcome.
So, Valerie,
mm-hmm.
I have a confession.
Okay.
It's been another slow week in video games.
The slowest.
I thought it might be back to hype zone, but we're not quite there. We are how many days from the Switch?
34?
Pretty close.
It's like a lot of days still.
It's not that lot of days.
Stop it.
It's less than 40.
Less than 5 weeks.
Less than 5 weeks.
It's more than 10.
Less than 5 weeks.
And before we get there, we have... Horizon Zero Dawn's coming out. Mass Effect? When is Mass Effect?
I think it's...
Is it right before or right after?
It might be right after Horizon... No, is it after...
Zelda? We're good at video games. But that's coming up. We have some betas.
Somebody wants to...
The For Honor beta was this past weekend. There's going to be a Wildlands beta coming up soon. Ghost Recon.
Ghost Recon, right.
It's Ghost Recon Cocaine Shooty Boys.
Yep.
Your favorite type of game, Valerie.
Yeah.
Anyways, this week remains boring. So, we figured we would ask you what you wanted to ask us.
And I have long wondered why video game enthusiasts are so grumpy.
Did you just call
all
us
the time?
Enthusiasts. That's pretty rude.
Yeah.
That's messed up.
Maybe we're so grumpy because we have people like you.
What would you call yourself?
Enthusiasts?
Yeah, we wouldn't call ourselves enthusiasts.
I didn't just want to say gamers because that seems exclusive.
Don't call us what we are. Call us enthusiasts.
Oh my God. Case in point, audience. Wow.
You didn't even realize
this is not grumpy. This is indignant.
Oh my God.
Indignant. Incredulous.
Incredulous.
It's all synonyms.
You're a synonym for loser!
Yeah. Well, okay, I mean, just something as simple as why are you all so grumpy?
Where does that perception come from?
My question is prompted by the fact that Devin partakes in a lot of, video game commentary.
Mm-hmm.
Like, reviews, YouTube videos, podcasts, the like. And in a lot of these, granted I don't listen to them to their full and completeness like he does, but I am, seeing as how we live together, we have a lot of crossover time.
No, we don't.
In the content that the other person interacts with. And it seems like in a lot of these channels, casts, vlogs, whatever, everyone's always complaining about something that they don't like, or why they thought it should have been this way, or why they thought it should have been better, or why they thought the Switch presentation was super lame, or why they're so disappointed that the Switch isn't doing this, or why this and that. And I understand, because think of it in comparison to movies. People are always complaining. People have built their careers as movie critics on complaining about complaining. I use that term loosely, on stating what they do or do not like about a movie. But in my humble opinion.
I'm complaining about this helicopter right now.
He's complaining.
This helicopter is loud.
In my humble opinion, it seems like the video game enthusiasts are ready to lash out in a way that other culture consumers seem less ready.
Hmm. Right, Devin, I defer to you, resident grump of the show.
Cool.
You're our Colin.
I don't want to be Colin.
Well, I'm clearly the Greg of this show.
Yeah, he's black like you.
He's super black. I'll be Greg. Yeah.
Okay. Can I be Kevin?
Wait a minute. I want to be Kevin.
Oh my gosh.
You can't be everyone.
I know. I didn't think of Kevin.
You could be Portillo.
Valerie's Nick because she's the perv of the group.
It's true.
Don't kink shame me.
I'm not. I'm just saying that's what you are.
I don't like to see it.
I just wanted to say kink shame.
Kink shame. Kink shame me.
Well, so I have some thoughts on this, and I bet you do too, Marcus. We should probably cover our enthusiasts right off the bat by saying...
You're a bunch of enthusiasts, tolls.
Don't make me use the bleep, Valerie.
I didn't. I said enthusiast hole. I made a pun, no bleep required.
Now I gotta use it twice.
Oh my gosh.
We don't have the budget for all of these.
Do you remember how long it took to edit that last time?
We've gotta hire the bleep guy. It doesn't come cheap.
I'm the bleep guy.
He doesn't come bleep.
No, we have to get the guy who says the bleeps. We have to record him.
Budget bleeps.
Bleep.
Anyways, I was saying a thing.
I work for cheap.
What I was trying to say is we have opinions, but obviously we are not the end-all be-all of this. Neither of us are social scientists.
Speak for yourself.
One of us is not a social scientist.
I mean, I'm not either, but just speak for yourself. You can speak for me. So. I'm my own woman.
And, you know, we only see what we see. That being said, I mean, I think one of the easiest things to point out when it comes to video game culture or video game enthusiasts compared to movies or sports is that I don't know what the numbers are actually for sure, but it seems the people who are active tend to be on the younger side than movie buffs or sports buffs.
I was going to go in this direction, so I'm glad you're hitting on this.
And so, you know, teenagers tend to be a little more emotional.
Angsty.
Less prone to certain social cues. And just
like
more,
how to not be a jerk.
Yeah, and more willing just to cross those lines because that's what teenagers do. That's how their brains are functioning. And so
or not functioning. Sorry, I'm just adding all this like commentary here.
Grump, 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 grump.
Maybe I'm calling.
So my first thought on that would just be I think generally the more vocal members of our community may be younger than other communities and other areas of interest. That could be totally wrong, but you hop on Call of Duty, you hop on a multiplayer game online, the most outspoken, angry voices are the younger ones.
And it's cyclical, right? Because, like, because younger kids have to learn it from somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And so they hear an older player doing this, and these kids want to fit in. They want to be seen as cool. They want to... All these, like, social things. It's like... like, being younger, you want to fit in, especially with the older crowd. Mm-hmm. So, if you hear them doing that, even if it's just once, like... And that kind of paints the, you know, picture of, like, how you are supposed to act... Mm-hmm. Online, which is why you hear so many kids doing it. And then you have the like majority of people aren't even engaging. Mm-hmm. They aren't even on the microphone. They've probably muted little, you know, Timmy. And
unless I'm playing with you, I do not use a mic.
Yeah.
Like, I just don't. So, and I think that goes for a lot of people. And that's why you see games like Overwatch and like Rocket League and like a lot of online games are now introducing other ways of communicating that aren't direct voice chat, because most people don't like using it, and people who do rarely use it well.
Yeah.
But I think there's probably more to it than just it being younger. I think the fact that video games themselves are younger than a lot of other pastimes, you know, they're like a few years younger than books, I think.
Oh my god.
So I think there's...
You slid that joke in so well. You just swooped that in there. That was good.
So I think there's perhaps a greater sense of ownership and therefore defensiveness over video game enthusiasts, because this is something that a lot of us, I'll be inclusive, not only have grown up with ourselves, but have sort of seen the industry grow up alongside us. When I think back to what games were like when I first started playing games, like as a technology, as an industry, you know, any way you look at it, it's impressive, and sometimes indistinguishable from what it is today.
Mm-hmm.
You know, video games were they just weren't what they are now. In the 90s, in the 80s, video games almost died as a whole thing back in the 80s.
They almost phoned home.
They that was a good one too.
Thank you.
That was a really good one. I liked it. E.T. Look at
that. I understand why. What's the connection between E.T. and video games?
Well, another day.
We didn't another do day. Word of the week. We will table it.
Yeah. You get your one question, now you don't get to say anything else the rest of the episode. No word of the week for you. And so I think there's a sense that gamers kind of they know it all, because, you know, in some cases they literally might know it all because they've been there since from day one.
Yeah.
Not saying that grumpiness is justified, but just that there is a felt reason for it, as opposed to someone who likes football. You know, no one who's alive now was there for, you know, day one of football.
Well, that's an interesting point. So I want to ask you, Valerie, because
okay.
a lot of what you probably hear Devin listen to is a lot of the Giant Bomb folks on their multiple podcasts, and
they're actually some of the less grumpier voices
okay.
I hear.
Okay, do you have? Do you know the names of the grumps that you would point out, or do they all just sound like voices?
They all sound the same.
Okay, so I think it would be kind of hard to like ask.
Well,
you.
So I, from you complaining about it,
mm-hmm.
You know, kind of funny is one that she
oh.
partly because it's just she's like that Craig guy talks too loud.
He's like a totally million
does.
Decibels.
No, he does. And he's aware of it. Like, he knows he talks very loud.
It makes my teeth grit.
Yeah,
grind.
But you could live in solidarity knowing that Colin also gets really frustrated with Greg's volume. And there's always like, Greg, you're just so loud.
And their voices, you know, like Colin,
mm-hmm.
Like Jim Sterling, like Angry Joe.
I don't know who that is.
Well, so those, I know you've heard me listen to them because mm-hmm. you've commented on them before, but you know, Jim Sterling and Joe, I think
Angry
his name
Joe
is just Joe Garcia. I think it's just Joe Garcia,
okay.
But Angry Joe.
Yeah.
You know, their whole personality is kind of built on being grumpy.
Yeah.
And I think they. I give them sort of, you know, I listen to them because on top, like, either on top or underneath the grump, whichever way you look at it, like, they are saying things that I find legitimate.
Yeah.
Like, I really respect Jim Sterling. I think he has some really interesting ideas, and he has a really interesting way of communicating his ideas. But he is unabashedly, you know, presenting himself as like this grumpy curmudgeon. Like he embraces it, and that's his thing.
See, the discrepancy that I find a little confusing is the fact that the video game audience, of which these reviewers and personalities are part of, seem constantly hungry for new video game content, yet constantly critical to an extreme level of every new video game content at the same time.
Sure. And I mean, that kind of gets into, we could talk about console wars.
Ugh.
From there. Ugh. I think there's, for almost the entirety of history of video games, there has been manufactured conflict among consumers. You know, the Nintendo-Sega rivalry. Sega does what Nintendo don't. Like, that was...
Zing!
That was Sega's marketing slogan.
Friends don't let friends go to Starbucks?
I don't...
It was like a legit... What's another classic rivalry?
I mean...
Like Coke-Pepsi? Like that?
Yeah, but like they... But like, if like Pepsi in their ads was like, Coke is for losers.
So maybe something... Like, I think like phone companies...
Oh, yeah.
Would be a good one.
Actually, that's perfect.
Because they'll take, like, specific shots at each other.
Yeah.
So it's always kind of been like that. And, you know, there's been moments where they've kind of teamed up. You know, Nintendo and Sony almost merged together.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't. And that in itself created a rivalry. When Microsoft entered the gaming industry in, Xbox came out in the 2000s, right? It wasn't a 90s thing. I think it was 2000. Who knows?
I'm not good with that.
Whenever Microsoft came out with the Xbox, like they walked into it kind of as an adversary because they were the new kids on the block. And Sony was kind of kicking butt by that point. Mm-hmm. And so that's always... There's always been that competition and competitiveness presented by the companies at a top level, but then you have people who grew up with a Nintendo and not a PlayStation, or with a Sega and not a Nintendo. And so, you know, when you're a kid and you grow up with something, you have very strong memories and opinions about those things. And so there again, you have another source of ownership and bias and defensiveness.
Well, it becomes part of your identity, and then when that's attacked,
yeah,
exactly,
it's offensive at a personal level.
I mean, it really is the same way people get overly, ridiculously defensive about sports teams. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, our family was a Packer team, so now we're all just going to be Packer fans. And, you know, not to pick on Packer fans, but like, you know, or Raiders fans or whatever.
We can use Patriots and Falcons.
There you go, Patriots and Falcons.
Because the Super Bowl,
that's the Super Bowl,
is the Sundays.
Mm-hmm. Totally going to watch it. Not going to watch it.
I might... If I'm not working, doggone it, I'm gonna make mac and cheese and take it to this potluck, the Super Bowl potluck.
I like watching football. Valerie doesn't.
I like the ads.
I like the ads.
I don't like it enough to go out of my way to watch football. The ads are good, but last year the ads weren't that great.
You can watch them all on YouTube too. So you could just skip it. But I love Super Bowl because there's always a barbecue somewhere, and there's always good food.
Mm-hmm. You just gotta sneak your way in there.
Oh, yeah, and, like, that's easy because Super Bowl is one of those gatherings where oftentimes people, it's like, they'll invite more people than what their home is able to hold. And so you could just walk in, no one's gonna question
your presence.
There's no reason you wouldn't be here unless you knew somebody.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So like getting into Super Bowl parties, simple.
Says the guy who claims to be an introvert.
Look, I don't need to talk to anybody to eat crock pot meatballs.
Marcus can't talk with his mouth full of meatballs.
That's rude, Devin. I would never do that.
So, Marcus, what do you think there's a special connection, is the only way I can think of saying that, between
love connection?
Gaming enthusiasts and the internet in a way that maybe other kinds of enthusiasts may not have.
That's interesting. So I feel like, actually, I never thought about it before you asked that, but absolutely. I think gaming is so tied to YouTube, is so tied to Twitter, is so tied to these other social things, where more than movies, more than anything else, like when I think of the video game community, mm-hmm. when I think of that world, I think of Twitter now. I think of a large community of people who kind of exist together in this secondary space mm-hmm. outside of games, where they play these games and then get together and all convene here and have this mm-hmm. larger conversation. Same thing with YouTube, and what's even also unique to gaming is game streaming. And like, so you can watch someone play games and like be in like engaging with them live. To my knowledge, there's nothing comparable for books or you know film. You know,
goodreads.com.
Yeah, you don't listen to someone read and then be mm-hmm. in a chat room and like, you know, mm-hmm. like
I do, however, like if I start watching something on Netflix or if I see a movie, like sometimes I do just want to read a review yeah. just to kind of yeah. like file it away in my brain. And this occurred to me a little bit earlier about like how for you guys, does it negatively affect your experience with a thing, a game, a film, a book or whatever? If after playing it, reading it, watching it and enjoying it, then you read a negative review and somebody, you know, rags on it, then does it burst your bubble a little bit?
Sometimes. Because
I definitely have that.
Yeah, sometimes.
I definitely have that.
For sure.
So then I was wondering if since it seems like there are...
just so much, like, negativity.
So, like, a lot of negative reviews, then do people then just come back within their own opinions to counteract that, as opposed to being like, oh, I guess so. Like, is that what fuels the wars or whatever?
I don't know if there's... like, if a game is reviewed poorly, mm-hmm. Like, there's always gonna... see, that's so... like, that's what's so interesting about reviews, is that, like, it doesn't really matter how... like, what the score is or what the synopsis is. Mm-hmm. It's like... no matter what, someone's gonna like it, and then someone's gonna yeah. enjoy it, and then someone's gonna want to be that advocate for it.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I've used reviews on purpose to sway my opinion of something when I've either wanted to buy something but wasn't completely sold on it yet, or when I was tempted to buy something but wanted to be talked down.
Yeah.
You know, I will go look for reviews that are either positive or negative to influence myself one way or the other, knowing that it's doing that.
Mm-hmm. But that means that you've also basically made the decision on your own at that point.
Yes and no. You know, I've gone into something and have, you know, either wanted to go purchase something and then have just not been able to get there by looking at positive reviews and vice versa. But, you know, I mentioned before I started recording that I was considering buying Battlefield 1 last week. It was on sale. But it was kind of just a little bit over my range that I wanted to pay for it, or budget for or whatever. And so I just looked at a bunch of videos and reviews and just getting a bunch of, just, you know, positive and negative, and eventually just kind of talked myself out of it. But I more than once was like on the brink of like, yes, I'm going to definitely do this. No, I'm definitely not going to do this. Let's go check again. Let me just make sure. So I don't know, but I think Marcus is, I think he made the most important point, was that like everyone will always hate every game and everyone will always love someone, I guess. Someone will hate every game. Someone will love every game. And I think people will even go out of their way to love or hate a game, to be contrary.
Yeah.
You know, and you see that with movies too, a lot of times. You get your movie snobs. But I also... There's something about the way that gamers are grumpy that just seems so self-aware.
Yeah. So maybe you're kind of picking up on, like, I think the average 20-year-old, 20-something gamer, I think, is a much more intelligent critic than the average 20-something film buff.
Mm-hmm.
Like, our opinions, like, we've become so good at critiquing this art because, like, there's so many... I guess that's kind of it, mm-hmm. is that there's so many things to critique. Like, once you start adding more layers of interactivity where, like, a book is just text, and so you're critiquing certain things, you're, like, critiquing story, this, flow, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you watch a movie, you have all of those... Like, everything that you can critique in the book, you can also critique in a film, but it's also...
Plus now, everything visual.
Yeah, but now you're adding that visual layer. And then when you get to video games, like, now you're adding your own experience playing it on top of all those other factors that both film and books had. And, like, so there's so much more to critique. There's so much more to get mm-hmm. frustrated about. And maybe that's just the nature of this business, is that video games are such... They're like, the most laborious thing
mm-hmm.
to make. There's so many ways to get it wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so hard to get it right. And we've... Like, even though gaming is young, mm-hmm. like, there's so many people creating games now, mm-hmm. and there's so much access to it,
mm-hmm.
where, like, people know what a good game is. Like, mm-hmm. people know what a good game feels like. And so, and if you like a specific kind of game, you're probably maybe playing 3 to 5 of those types of games in a year,
mm-hmm.
and you're able to compare all of those games, and, like, you can see all of those points, and I think there's just so much to critique that it actually, like, I know it might seem that people are never satisfied, and, like, some people aren't, but, like, like, I honestly think that a lot of the people that I listen to / watch are very good about saying, like, well this aspect
mm-hmm.
or these aspects of this game aren't good, but I still liked it because of this. Mm-hmm. I feel like people are good at, like, giving that balance of like, this game's not perfect, this game has all these problems, but man, it had a great story, or it was, like, really, really, really fun. And I think it's hard when, as a game developer,
mm-hmm.
you have to consider so many more things than you would in another type of medium. And so everything is just put on blast because everything mm-hmm. is there to be put on blast.
Doesn't matter, it was on Xbox, so it sucks.
And then there's people like that
who just have allegiances. I mean, I just keep thinking back to all the angry sports things I see all the time, and I think that's the closest, the most similar thing I can think of off the top of my head. I don't know if all the reasons, you know, I don't think I don't know what I think about sports. That's a whole other area, and we are quickly running out of time.
Do the thing, get the point, you get it.
Yeah, you get the thing. But, you know, I think gamers are definitely grumpy. I think they're definitely more grumpy on average than most other enthusiasts circles. But I don't know. There's lots of not so grumpy people as well. But the reputation and stereotype is not entirely inaccurate.
No.
Not by a long shot.
So I was picking up on something that's real.
Oh, yes.
I had a great question for you.
Sure.
It was really good.
Okay.
It was like a really good question. I can't remember it at all.
You can't remember.
She was born without the arm.
Okay. Yes.
Yes, her hair is natural.
Okay.
Actually,
great.
It's well, not.
Well, we covered it.
The bottom half of it is super not.
Well, I mean, what's your... I got it.
Okay.
So, I mean, how does your perception of how gamers are and our level of grumpiness, like, how does that affect your perception of the gaming community and your wanting to be a part of it?
Makes me want to less because of... I mean, it's a little bit hard to answer because my involvement is currently and will for the foreseeable future be limited to observing as opposed to, you know, actively participating in whatever outlet that may be. It makes it seem, I mean, hostile.
Yeah.
You know? That's mostly my...
Well,
Michaeline.
I mean, I think that's, I appreciate that perspective, because I think for Top Shelf Gaming, and especially for this podcast, really about, like, how do we bring non-gamers into this gaming world that Devin and I love so much, you know, it's like, it means so much to us, and like, we want to share that. Mm-hmm. So to hear you two say that is eye-opening because it's like how many people without you even trying to are kind of turning people away from the idea that this is a community that they could potentially want to join.
And likewise, like the reason that I do, like the reason that I love Overwatch or the reason that like I've quote-unquote played Gone Home is... because Devin introduced them to me.
Yeah.
So likewise, as much as I am discouraged by the atmosphere of hostility that I get just from the community in general, to that extent, me and probably other people would probably also be drawn in by someone that they know personally that wants to share something with them, game-related.
I like that.
And I'm also not active, like, I'm not like... I would be part of this community. Like this, if I like really wanted to dive in, then I'm sure maybe it would seem less hostile, or maybe I'd be like, you know, ready to pull up my bootstraps and dive in.
Oh, absolutely. That actually, really quick, because I know we're out of time. Last night, I was playing with an old intern on Overwatch. I hadn't talked to him in like a year, Joey, and like he played Overwatch for like the first week, and then he like stopped playing it. But he was online last night, and he invited me, and I was playing with his group of friends, and they were just like the nicest people ever, mm-hmm. and I'm not used to that. And like mm-hmm. we were playing competitive mode,
yeah,
where like tensions are like usually really really high, mm-hmm. and people are, I mean, even if they're nice, they're like still like fiery and like, you know, still like really competitive, and mm-hmm. and like we were playing really intense matches, and like they mm-hmm. and like they just kept it fun.
That's sweet.
And they didn't swear. Like, not that swearing is an indication of, yeah. of, like, being mean, but just, like, it was so, it was just pure. It was just...
It just means you're going to hell.
It was just pure fun. And
H-E double hockey sticks.
H-E double hockey. This is a family show.
Yeah.
For enthusiasts.
For enthusiasts.
And non-enthusiasts. But yeah, I mean, like, those people mm-hmm. exist, but, like, even for me as, like, an avid gamer, like, mm-hmm. I was surprised at how nice and genuine they were being. So, like, mm-hmm. yeah, like, from your perspective, gamers are grumpy because, in general, like, they are. Mm-hmm. And, I don't know. I'm excited to find more people like that. And like, help create a culture where that is...
Yeah, I mean, those groups, they're definitely out there. You know, there's always groups out there. It's just a matter of, you know, finding them and making them the norm rather than the exception.
Mm-hmm.
And while I think there are far more positive experiences to be found than, you know, it can seem a lot of times, I don't know that I would say the majority of online experiences, whether it's in-game or outside of game or even just within a community, I don't know if I'm willing to say that most of the time it's positive. If I had to guess, I would say most of the time it's probably neutral, leaning negative.
Yeah, I agree.
We have some growing to do. But that's our short, quick,
hot take.
Clumsy, hot, takeified,
hot and sloppy takes.
So uneducated, anecdote-riddled, straw man ad hominem.
Oh my
I know what these words mean, you guys. That's our take on it.
I have no idea what that means.
But that's going to just about do it for our
22nd
22 ND episode.
Yeah. Well, as you know, you can find us on Twitter at Trust Circle Cast. Like us on Facebook at the Top Shelf Gaming Facebook page. And please leave us a review on iTunes. We have a mission of getting one new iTunes written review every week. So please do that. And I'm going to read one of our new reviews. So this one is from The Real Egwin.
Thanks, The Real Egwin.
I like how comfortable and fun this podcast is. It has a solid blend of current news, but also keeps things nostalgic at times. It really addresses the fun of gaming in a way that engages gamers and non-gamers alike. It's really worth a listen if you want a refreshing take on gaming. So thank you so much, Egwin.
Thanks, The Real Penguin.
The Real Egg Ben.
The Real Eggs Benedict.
The Real Eggs Benedict.
And thank you, Gladys.
I thought he wasn't a part of the circle.
Oh, he's not, but I appreciated him being quiet and respectful this whole time.
Thank you, Gladys. Yeah. That was nice of you.
It was good. Well, with that, we say goodbye.
Au revoir.
Adios. Au revoir. Adieu.
Auf Wiedersehen.
Aloha.
I'm definitely not saying whatever Valerie said.
Sayonara.
Sayonara.
I can't trust that girl. He's just saying words.
And until next week, keep it cool and play something nice.
Aloha.
Z.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.